Oh, welcome to Unleash Your Courage. Oh, all the technology is already fun. I'm excited to have Dave Kaminsky here with me this
Hello,
week.
hello.
Thanks for joining me.
Yeah.
Dave and I were just rehashing. We've had a lot of fun traveling to conventions the last couple of weeks, which I'm sure will come up more. But I just met Dave a few months ago when he came to Omaha for our mastermind. And we've had a lot of fun doing different things and collaborating since then. So we're going to kick off, and I'm going to let you, instead of doing your introduction and accolades on what a rock star you are, I'm going to have you just tell us a little bit about your story,
All
whatever
right.
you want
All right. I love that. Well, thanks for having me on. Obviously super excited that you have your own show, so congratulations on that. That is
Thank
fantastic.
you.
Yeah, I guess, it really sucks when you talk about yourself, right? Like, I don't really like talking about myself, but what I do like to talk about myself is I like surrounding myself with people who I love and who are, genuine and who are authentic and fun, who are hard workers and who are driven. Like that's kind of the way my brain thinks. If I start talking to somebody and they're negative, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't really want to hang out around that person, right? Or somebody who's complaining all the time. But where did I like? How did I get there? Like if I rewind, when I started my business was 1999, like a long time ago, right? And in since then to now, the things I've learned and the things I've changed my business into have all been a process. Way back then, I was probably too meek and, too passive, and I would hire people that would run me around, or I'd hire people that, didn't fit the mold, hire people that, weren't positive to be around. I'd had a pretty good business at first. And then 2008 or so came and business crashed. I got divorced. That was no fun, right? I really opened my eyes then of, the people that I had in my life at the time. Like I cut so many people out of my life, and man, did that make a difference, right? So I'm like, I'm only going to surround myself with positive people and encouraging people and people who think like me. That was the biggest thing, was people who think like me. So, started that change. And I got remarried to a woman who's absolutely amazing. Like my biggest helper and cheerleader in the whole world.
He's only saying that because I'm
And
here.
she's standing right there. So yeah, I'm not
Oh.
the only reason I'm saying it, but it does make a big difference, right? She works with me and she works for me. She doesn't work against me, And then, I kind of had like a kind of steady flow of business, business is good. And I guess I should say I'm in the window cleaning industry, in Arizona. Business, when I started working with my wife and finding, I started finding people who worked for me that were amazing. And I thought, if I overpay this person, they're probably not going to go anywhere. So I started kind of really giving back to my employees and really investing in my employees. And then some of them turned into like my best friends. And I've always like said, you want to hang around people who are like you. And, like your five top friends are usually your average income. So I was kind of always like, I'm not going to be friends with the guys who work for me, but I'll still love them. But the ones that I poured into and mentored them, they leveled up their game and they became better. And we've eventually opened cities for these guys to go run their own window cleaning business in. And I even have one guy who's a business partner with me. So this big long story goes that, all of a sudden I started attracting people who were successful, started attracting people who actually cared about what they did in life, and attracting people who, wanted to be part of a business that just really loved and valued their employees. And it feels more like a family than like a business or a job, right? Like we don't ever feel like it's a job. So now we fast forward a few more years. I do have the largest window cleaning company in Arizona, and we're also in Denver, so we're in Colorado. You're clapping, but the best part is I don't run any of it. So that's the best. I mean, and you met a lot of my team in Vegas, right? Last
Yeah,
week
you're
you were in
great.
Vegas.
Yeah, great
Yeah, there was
people.
a lot of them there. Like, and like I was having a conversation. I don't know. No, it wasn't with you. It was with Brock. And he's like, man, how do you find all these guys? Like, where do you find guys like this? And I pointed to Steve, and I pointed to Steven and Julian and Brock and Adelaide and Mitch, like Brandon. Like I kept naming all these guys. And like every single one of those guys, like I love them like they're my son. Or my best friend. So when you find people like that, you know, my motto has always been to overcompensate them. And they have like absolutely enabled me to work myself out of my business, and they're happily running them, all my businesses for me. So I can, you know, do what I do. Like my passion and my joy then turned, I've got out of the window cleaning business a few years ago and I started Collaborate Pros. And that's really my passion, is it's turned into helping other business owners. So now I created, it's actually like a three-step process that works. It doesn't matter if you're in the HVAC industry, or if you're a lawyer, if you're a plumber, if you're in the landscaping industry, window cleaning, it really doesn't matter. We do these three things for people's websites and it just blows up, catches fire, starts showing up for all sorts of search terms, like near me search terms, getting your Google Maps showing up, getting phone number or getting your phone ringing from customers calling. So that's where I changed my passion a few years ago to pouring into Collaborate Pros. And then when I got into Collaborate Pros, I said, you know, why don't I start networking more, start surrounding myself with other business owners like myself. And I joined a group called BBB, and I go to Nashville every quarter. And that's kind of really how it led you and I to meet, right? So Dan Plata's in there and he said, hey, do you want to be on my podcast? And I'm like, sure. And so I just, kind of like in your book, I just started saying yes to stuff, right? Like people ask me, you want to do this? Yeah, let's do it, right? Dan even asked me to go ice fishing. I said no to that, though. but yeah,
I've been saying no to that. He just said, he's like, we should have a turf step show on ice fishing. I was like, yeah, I'm making everyone go.
Yeah, so last year he asked me to go ice fishing, and I really wanted to go, and I turned him down because I had another show or something going on. It's not that didn't want to go. I really did want to go. But anyway, so yeah, that's kind of where I've gotten to where I'm at right now.
Well, I love how you shared your story. Instead of just, I own this business and then here, I love how you wove it through what I think we talk about a lot is people and how you know, who you've surrounded yourself with, how you changed your mindset on that. As you know, through the years of where you started and then how intentional you were about that of, you know, deciding intentionally that you wanted to be around people who thought like you, that were big thinkers.
Yeah. You know, like we even had an interview yesterday and we're trying to work my wife out of the business. And we interviewed a lady, but I said this to every person I've interviewed is it's people first, hands down, always it's about the people. Because money comes and money goes, right? And money comes and money goes. But if you're nice and you're kind to people, then guess what? It's going to work a whole lot easier, right?
Exactly. And yeah, when you're intentional about that, like I want to surround myself with that and being intentional. And then what that energy does, like you said, is attract great people into your life when you're doing that. And you have that intention and set that out there, then it just attracts great people. And yeah, those relationships we met because, yeah, you were first on Dan's show and then James was on Dan's show. So that's how you guys met, came to Omaha. And then Dan asked me to be on his show. You can find us all on Dan's show if you're listening on Turf Stop. That's a riot. It was a crazy show today. So you should listen to that podcast. But so great of like things I never would have imagined. Like you said last week when we were in Vegas, you're like, did you ever think that you'd be at a window washing convention? No, not a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But yeah. When you know, really make that decision again to be around big thinkers, people with positive energy, then you start attracting that. Mm-hmm. And like you said, all about the people of, you know, you see people come into your life. When I like seen you and Dan on his show and then met you in person, of you see people, and this is how Dave and I then started working together much more closely. It's just like, I don't know how we're going to work together, but I want more of that. And I know that that will explode things in my life and in business.
Well, yeah, in anybody's life, like, if you're going to walk around with negative thoughts all day long, you're going to attract negative people, hands down, right?
Yes. Like
hands down. And then Dan's show we were just on. I mean, we just all sit around and joke and laugh. And yeah, we're talking about business, but you can tell everybody's relaxed. Everybody's chill. Everybody's having a good time. We're all on the same page. And then like when you and I are in Vegas, we were talking about this before we were before we went live is who do we hang out with? We hung out with a whole bunch of people you'd never met. And we had a blast. Like all the guys were just super fun to be around. Man, is it fun when you attract people like yourself?
Yeah. And we said that we were talking. I was like, it was so much fun. Like it was solid fun in the morning, all hours. It wasn't really like this party atmosphere. We were downtown. It wasn't like about the party. We had a ton of fun ziplining, like it's like your Superman ziplining.
Yeah, it was like, really cool.
I had done before. It was like super cool. But it just was so much like joy, I think, because everyone was so positive. Like everyone was so happy and so positive. And the feeding off of that, you know, all these, you know, business owners that are big thinkers. And so there were great like business conversations and mix among it. But just like Dan's show and just like our week in Vegas, yeah, we're getting little tips and exchanging business things and learning a ton about little things like that. But one of the best ways that elevates your life and why it was so much fun is just the energy. Like it magnifies, you know, your energy. And like, that's when like big things happen. When you're getting feed you up and fill your bucket up.
Yeah. Like our friend Brock, right. From Canada, he's super young. Right. And he literally just was in my ear for like 2 days. Well, what do you think about this? And how did you do that? And how did you do this? And how did you do that? And how do you find this person? How do you find that person? Like, he was like, man, I would pay you whatever you would ask for me to pay you to give me the information you're giving me for free. And he was just like blown away. He's like, I can't believe you're giving me all this information. So like, you have to always remember, if you're young or you're early in the game, what should you do? Surround yourself with people that's where you want to be, and ask questions, ask how and ask why. Like I told you several times, like, man, Brock asked some really good questions. I'm really impressed. But then also if you're further along in the game and you're a rock star and you're killing it, like go mentor somebody, like give them free value, give them free knowledge, give them information. Cause that's going to come back to you like 10 times. And,
oh, absolutely.
And then you just kind of feel good about yourself. It's fun to see somebody be amazing, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So there was that aspect too of, then the lives that you're touching on that, not only just the energy that we're getting for ourselves, but on either end of it and we can always be students, even if, like he was younger and hungry for, questions, of all different types of business and soaking that up. And it's a lesson that we always can be, right? Even though we're not at the beginning stage, that it can always be a student, and who, you know, who can we learn from? How can we ask better questions? There were so many great one-liners. This is going off what I was going to talk about, but when we were playing blackjack, other Dave asked a question. It was all of us that we knew at the table, and then one person that we didn't know. And, you know, we were just talking to him, and it was maybe about offering him a job or whatever. Like, well,
he was in the asphalt industry and he wasn't working because it was wintertime, right?
Yes. And he's like, you want to come over to the, you know, window cleaning? How much do you make? You know? And he's like, well, how much would I make? And he just had this great response of listening and turning it around to the other person. He's like, well, how much would it take? And, just learning in all those, you know, little moments of like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really, I love how Dave's like, what do you want to get paid? Let's go. Yeah. If you find the right person, you find the right person. It shouldn't, like, if you're thinking money to hire that person, you're thinking wrong. Like you're thinking, you should think, what am I missing out on by not having a rock star? Now, like we were talking.
That's a good line. What am I missing out on by not having a rock star?
Yeah. You're missing so much more than what it's going to, like, it shouldn't cost you anything. I was just going to piggyback on that. So I met my general manager at a window cleaning convention. So I actually put myself out there, said, hey, I want to surround myself with other people who, you know, are like me in business. And just from going and networking, I met this guy, Steve. And then 2 years later, I met him again. And we're like, hey, we know each other. Let's hang out. And he's like, man, I want to move to Arizona. Can I run your business? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. You know, I'd have never met that guy had I just sat around and tried to figure it all out myself. That would have never happened, right? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, all about the right seats. And I love that you said that. What am I missing out on by not having a rock star? And, you know, constantly being open to those, just like that guy that was sitting at the table. Like, great. He had some energy. Like, what would it take to get you? What would it take for you to be with me? A lot of times business owners, like we're looking at hiring for a position, right? Like, are you qualified? Do you have the skills for this position? Instead of being open to anyone that you meet, like you met Steve, and finding rock stars and finding a seat for them.
Yeah. You know, fun when it all comes together. It's like, yes, yes, yes.
It is fun when it all comes together. But yeah, when you meet rock stars, it's like, what does it take to get you? And where are we going to, you know, like, how do we design a position for you? How do we make this work? Because you on the team create such a great
chemistry, right? Just great chemistry. Yeah.
Great dynamic and chemistry and all that. We covered it a whole ton about community. Okay, it's time before we switch topics to make an attempt to take a commercial break.
Do it.
Hey, welcome back.
Did your commercial work? I didn't hear it.
You didn't hear the commercial?
I didn't hear anything. Did it work?
It played on this. You didn't hear it into the microphone? Are you kidding me?
I didn't hear anything. I just figured it was playing without me. So
you can hear my microphone. It played into the little speaker. Well, hopefully
I can hear you speaking, but I didn't hear anything. Well, you know what's funny is I'm sitting here holding a pen and it says Omaha Commercial Banking. Somehow I have a little bit of
Union Bank and Trust. Union Bank
and
Trust.
Where did I get this pen? I'm like, how do I got obviously, some Omaha in my life.
Obviously from me.
All right.
One of my besties, Carrie Weiler, if you're listening.
It's so funny. I have no idea how I have this pen, but I was just looking at it, commercial break. I'm like, Omaha. All right.
Yeah, the Facebook says, which is so weird because my microphone is going through Facebook. So sorry, Facebook people, that you don't hear the commercial, but they heard it on the radio.
Huh. All right.
Which again, like I said, is weird because it's I'm coming to you through the, I think so. Maybe I didn't set my microphone up for StreamYard. All the technology. I might have not set my microphone up for Facebook with this. Who knows? We're back.
I'm not judging. Who cares? We're here to have fun, right?
There was a commercial in terms of radio, which is what matters. So if you are in the Facebook group, don't forget that you can drop us some questions. It's always fun when you're interactive. So thank you for listening either way and ask us some questions because that's fun. So we talked a lot about community and the people that you surround yourself with. I guess we didn't get into community. We talked about the people that you surround yourself with and the energy and those things. But I did want to dive a little more into like official communities. If those of you are wondering, like Dave and I talked about so intentionally having the intention to surround ourselves with people, but how do you do that? How do you join communities? And Dave and I are working on one together. So why don't you talk about that? Tell us a little bit about Collaborate Live.
Yeah, that's great. I was wondering where you're going with that. And then you like surprised me. Yes, Collaborate Live. So I've had this vision of, you know, well, I said earlier, my passion has turned into helping other business owners, right? Like the knowledge I have now, man, I wish I had that 10 years ago. Like we should all look at each other, ourselves that way, right? But, you know, with Collaborate Pros, we have about 200 clients, which is a lot of fun. You know, it's a lot of work, but it's great. And we're helping a lot of people. But I also wanted to create a community within the 200 customers of ours and really dive in and help each other out, like mentor each other or be able to be mentored by somebody. So, you know, in Collaborate, we've got customers that have $20 million plus businesses. We've got them that are, you know, fairly new. We've got customers that are in the HVAC industry. We even have business coaches. So we have a whole wide variety of people within Collaborate. And I thought, man, if we can get them together. So every Wednesday, coming up here, 6:30 Central time, right? Yep. I always have a hard time with that, 6:30 Central. We do Collaborate Live, and then we talk about different topics of discussion. Like today, we're bringing my financial guy on, and he's going to explain how to sell your business tax-free. Like, I don't know if I'm the only one that gets excited about that, but man, you can save some serious money, right? 30%. We sell a $1 million business, you save $300,000. But stuff like that. And then, you know, we've talked about goal setting. We talked about, you know, how to work on yourself, right? So every week we're going to have a different topic. And it's a lot of fun. Angela has some awesome workbooks and some stuff we can help keep each other accountable for. Like, I know joining groups, you're talking about joining business groups. When I've joined other business groups and you see other business owners, like, there's two things that happen. Number one, like, naturally guys are competitive, right? And women too, right? You're like, ooh, man, that guy's doing that. I think I want to do better, right? So you kind of, in your mind, you're like, ooh, I want to do something a little bit better. But it also, like, you want to hold each other accountable. Like, if you're never held accountable, like, really, are you going to show up and work to your full potential? So Collaborate Live is a good place to come to be kind of held accountable and to want to up your game a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that sense of community. And I've talked about that each week when we had James on and Nancy on last week, you know, different communities to be a part of. I've said, like, if you don't have one, whether you're a business owner and want to be in one that's industry specific, or just with business owners or just with like-minded people, it's important to find a community like that. And yeah. I was excited to start working with you. I had worked with James in building a green industry community and absolutely love all those people. If any of you are on, some of them are usually watching and excited to do this for you, your clients, potential clients, other people. It is open to everyone, not just Collaborate clients. Come on and join us. And like Dave said, it's great because you get a little, there's a little education piece, but then there's also this safe community of other like-minded people. These are great places to start that, you know, there's Q&A at the end of people, you know, a chance to ask questions that you might have your own. We have some great ideas of like people sharing and different things that we're going to do coming up. But every week it's an opportunity to, you know, be around other people around the country and make those connections, have a place, like you said, to be accountable to, like, we're working on things. Everyone's working on things to make those connections of people that are holding you accountable, have people to cheer you on and motivate you and be in that energy that we just talked about, like. You're thinking, how do I find people in that energy? This is one of those. I always leave Dan's show, this, Collaborate Live, and we happen to do them all on the same day. So I leave Wednesday nights like, ah!
Crazy, right?
It's fun. So full of energy. Yeah. But also a safe space to share. As business owners, it can be isolating as entrepreneurs of the different struggles we go through, right? And
yeah, like we were talking about doing a hot seat in Collaborate Live too. Like, mm-hmm. There's times where you're like, man, I really don't know what to do here. I know a few months ago, maybe 6 months ago, I was at a live event with the BBB guys, and like I had something in my business. Like, I really felt strong about doing this thing. And my general manager and my wife were like, no, no, no. And I'm like, damn it, I'm right, you know? And then, you know, I sat down and I listened to other people's perspectives. And one of them was Melody, who you met last week.
Yes.
Like, Melody had some amazing, thoughts for me. And it's awesome to hear because, like, I don't think like a woman, you know, you know, it's really nice when you can surround yourself with other like-minded people and people who have gone through something that you might not have gone through yet.
And get that perspective, like you said.
Yeah. And then you have to be humble enough to be like, you know, yeah, I was an idiot.
Humble, willing to be vulnerable. Yeah, we get so, and that's definitely a space that I've grown as a business owner and as a leader. We get so focused in like, I am absolutely right. Yeah. And you're not really listening to the other people's opinions because you're like, okay, nice thought there, but I know that I'm right. So, and sometimes the people closest to you, like you said in that situation, you know, your wife, and your GM, that you're like, no, I'm right. And to be able to have a place to remove yourself and for someone to say, you know, it's time to step away from that ego for a second.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it's just, man, in the heat of it, you're like, golly, I'm so right. This is ridiculous, right? And then, you know, like anything, you just step back, take some time, relax. And then, you know, I actually wrote a bunch of notes. I always put them on my phone. So I put a bunch of notes in my phone. I'm feeling this way. I'm feeling angry because of that. I'm feeling mad because of this. Like when you write it down, like it's almost like therapy, right? Like you get it out. And then I got to Nashville and so like, anybody got a hot seat? I'm like, oh yeah, sign me up. And it was hard. It was hard to sit there. And some of the people were like, you know what? You're probably not right. And some of the people were on my side too, but course they gave different angles Then the coolest thing was there was three people sitting out in the crowd that were going through the exact same thing I was at that same moment, but they didn't speak up and say something. So if you speak up and say, hey, I'm having this problem, who knows how many people you can actually help, right?
Yes, that is a reason to be vulnerable. I mean, not just in that scenario, but yeah, in communities, in places all the time.
Courageous, right?
Yeah, being courageous and being vulnerable. But that reminded me, like, I get lots of back and forth of being, I am out there on social media. But to me, it is to, one, invite people to these communities, right? To be out there, to give people awareness of spaces to be in communities and be impacted. But also to be, I am vulnerable and share things because people might be going through the same thing, you know? So I share something that is hard to be vulnerable about, just like you in that situation. I mean, to say, hey, this is something I'm going through, but it not only helped you to get the feedback, but it gave other people like, oh, I'm not in this alone. It's not just me, not crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's so important. That's a way we often don't think that is really powerful about impacting other people, is just being vulnerable enough to share our own stories and insecurities and vulnerability. You just asked before this if I got my car fixed, and I just shared that yesterday. I am real strong and independent in every area of my life except for that, and I act like, and I shared that on Facebook. I was like, I act like, I mean, I just like sit down and cry and be like, can someone please rescue me? No. Oh goodness.
Yeah, that's so fun. So fun. And there's a point in my life when like I had a major auto repair, like a big auto repair bill. I don't know, it was $1,500 or $2,000. I don't remember what it was. But the fact that I had the money to fix it, I'm like, oh, this is awesome, man. Like, I don't have to do this myself. So, I don't know. You can take some pride in paying somebody to do it for you.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. Can I take pride in wanting to just be rescued? Okay, maybe not. I kept wanting to be rescued, and then I had a lesson when I finally reached out for help.
You wanted to be the damsel in distress.
Just for one second, I did. But then I had a lesson from a good friend that's like, here, take your power back.
It's kind of funny. Like, I know we're getting off topic here, but like I've always said, like, I drive one of the oldest trucks in my entire company. But I love my truck. Like, there's nothing wrong with my truck. It's a nice truck. And I drove it to Vegas and back last week. And driving it back, like, my radio stopped. Like, I could listen to no music. All my presets were gone. I'm like, son of a bitch, I need a new truck. Like, really, I need a whole new truck because my radio is not working.
But that's well, what I was thinking. I mean, it might be a sign. You'd hate to be stranded.
I was like, you know what? Yep, maybe now I need a new truck.
Exactly. Oh.
It's a little extreme, but I don't know. I might be right. I might need a new truck. I'll put it into the fleet and I'll go get me a new one.
There you go. Yeah. Look at all the talk about cars and vehicles. We're not getting too off track on Dan's show. The whole first part of the show, I was like, well, this is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know, right? We can't talk about what we were talking about over there. You got to go watch it, right?
You got to go watch it. This show is not labeled explicit. So
there you go. Yep.
Dan brings okay, before I went on to the next thing, I wanted to go back when you said, and I'm very proud of you for that. That's a good thing of like writing down and you said your feelings, like this made me feel good job on that. That's something I've worked on a lot when I talk about like healing and different things and evolving as a leader of, I just used to, I don't know if that's you, but I think that's common in the beginning of business ownership and people that are really driven and successful is I was only focused on being driven and successful and just motivate. Like, I don't care what plowed over. I didn't stop to care how that made me feel. Mm-hmm. I wasn't about to think that I had feelings. I was just like plow ahead. And because of that, I also wouldn't have cared what somebody else thought. I was like moving on. I'm right. So I love that you said that, like, stop to think about, like, what were those triggers?
Another thing I noticed over the years in business is, I mean, it's a gender thing. Men don't communicate nearly as well as women do. And like, I tell guys who work for me all the time, like, you need to communicate. And then you go beyond that, like, women will tell you all their feelings. And like, a guy's like, okay, like literally has a response to two words. So me writing out how I felt, like, I don't know when I realized that, but it wasn't that long ago. I wish I was smarter than that, but I really only figured that out a few years ago, is writing it out really is like therapy. Man, it helped me get it off my chest. Because like, if you have a to-do list, like before I go to bed, I think, oh man, I need to do this, this, and that tomorrow. And you think about it, and then you sleep, and you wake up in the middle of the night, you're like, oh, I can't forget to do those three things. But if you write it down on your to-do list for tomorrow, you can wake up in the middle of the night and not even stress or worry about it. So it's kind of the same thing, right? If you're stressed or worried about it, write your emotions down, and then it helps get it off your chest, right?
Well, it was two good lessons, because I do love the brain dump lesson. I think not near enough people do the strategic thought brain dump. I do it at night when you say, yeah, you can't sleep. Like, I have a notebook by my bed, and I'm like brain dump before I go to bed, six most important things for the next day. And then same thing first thing in the morning. Like,
is it always six?
It is always six most important things.
Why six?
So that's very strategic, and a lot of people talk about it. Mary Kay Ash said six most important things. There's a ton of other people that say six most, and I don't have them listed as six in my planner. If you don't have my planner, you should.
Yes, you can buy it on Amazon, everybody.
You can buy it on my website.
Oh, on your website.
But it is six, and I revisited that. I loved my years in Mary Kay. So it was Mary Kay Ash. There's a strategy behind the six and writing it before you go to bed, and then writing it first thing in the morning. And then one of my mentors now, Ron Carson, talks a lot about it as well in, you know, writing those six most important things. So that's one of the biggest things my most important things I do in life, I would say.
You ever struggle coming up with six? Because like, I feel like, man, I really have three things to do tomorrow. I guess then I just have to think a little deeper about six. You ever struggle with six?
I think I did in the beginning. It was either like too many or too few.
But you said most important things. Like, is it like just most important things, or is it things that you have to do?
No, most important things list. And so I have it listed. I think I did this planner before I really revisited that with Ron and studied the six most important. I could do a whole episode on that. But so that's like a top priorities list. What are my six most important things to do? And they're like, these are the six most important objectives for the day. Mm-hmm. So there might be like 10 to-dos under the one objective.
It feels like, really good when you accomplish it too, right?
Like I need, you know, like I absolutely need to get this proposal out. I need to finish planning the next 12 weeks of the podcast guests or something like that. Like that's going to take a lot of steps, but that like, I absolutely, this is the priority, getting those things done.
And well, and then it feels amazing when you check stuff off. Like I feel so empty if I didn't do anything during the day, or if I get through the whole day and feel like I didn't accomplish something.
So yeah, then I have a to-do list. But so circling back to that, that is one of the best things I do, brain dump, because otherwise things are.
Yep.
I don't know how people don't do brain, like in first thing in the morning, like if I don't just like, I call it vomit everything that's in my head. Before I start working out, like I can't listen to a book, anything, like everything's spinning around in my head. I like how you talked about the writing feelings, and it probably is considered that men don't talk about their feelings as much as women, but I think it's not only a and I feel like in my first years of business ownership I had a lot more masculine energy, I guess, in that, but I think it's also a personality thing, that a lot of really driven, successful people just, it used to be the thought that like feelings got in the way.
We were talking about this, I don't know if it was last week or when we were talking about it, but I know I was the same way when I was younger as you. It was like, I don't care about your feelings, get it done. Like, I need you to get that done.
Yeah.
And that was it. Somebody used to say to me, why are you such an asshole? I'm like, I just need it done. Like, I'm not trying to be mean. Just get it done.
And that's definitely how I coached people and things too. So, all right, we're going to take our final commercial break. I don't know why you can't hear it here. It's the weirdest.
I'll try really hard to hear it.
It's going into the microphone. So I don't know why you won't be able to hear it, but here we go. And we're back. You only heard it a little bit. I don't know why.
Yeah, I mostly didn't hear it. So
mystery. I mean, you can hear me just fine. And it seems, I don't know. They seem, it's going on the radio. So anyway.
Sounds like there's an invention or a patent to be had here.
Yeah.
Anybody listening who's good at that audio stuff,
figure it out. That we need to integrate all of it.
Yep. Figure it out. We'll all go buy one, whatever those doppelgangers are. Whatever they call them. It's not doppelganger.
This is the first week I've actually been, and most of the time I will do this on the road. So I am super excited to have my own show on Turf's Up. And like I said, who would have thought all the things, but it is again about being open when you like let go of the picture you're trying to beat into existence and are so focused on that and you're just like open to opportunities. Love having this show on Turf's Up Radio. But as soon as I agreed to that and was like, oh, I have this great home setup, then we decided to be on the road all the time. And I was like, no, wait a second.
Yeah. And we're even in Denver next week. So
the first time I've been actually in the fun home studio setup for it. And I had to figure out how to pack it all yet. And we're in Denver next week at Pro Green. If any of you are listening and going to be there, make sure to come stop, see us at Collaborate.
Well, we were talking about networking a minute ago and just surrounding yourself with people. It's really funny because when we were in Minnesota, I ran into two people I knew just from networking. Like, isn't that crazy? And then you had somebody come by.
I had one.
Yes. Yeah. So like there was three people that happened to be there that we just knew from just networking. And that's fun. It's like showing up somewhere where it feels like home. You know the people, right?
Absolutely. And then we met new people. And then last week was so many new people of networking. I mean, all kinds of people that I didn't know and expanding the horizons of, I mean, just so many remarkable people. It was your industry, so you knew a lot of the people. And most, you know, everyone was new to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, so many new connections and friends and then all these people, you know, that I'm going to continue.
I imagine it feels a little overwhelming for you because I'm like, Angela, this is Greg. Angela, this is Butch. This is Sheila. like keep going on and Melody. And you're like, oh, hello and hello. And so might have been a little overwhelming for you. Sorry.
it was good. No, it was good. And I made a lot of great friends that I know will continue to interact with and see and are hopefully listening and we'll have on the show. Like you said, I've met so many people over the last 2 weeks. So I'm like, oh my goodness, the list of guests for the show is awesome. But just, learning from so many people. Oh, yeah. You did introduce me to a ton of people, but the first night I was on my own.
Yes.
We walk into the first event and then you kind of went and I'm like, oh, well, hello.
Well, you met the snowplow king of Fargo, right?
Yes. And he's going to be my guest next week.
Next week. Actually. Yeah. He's got an impressive business. Yeah.
He does have an impressive business. We should put it in the show notes. So
Antoinette, you want to build a 120 foot tall snow mountain? Listen to Angela's show next week, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's going to be good. He has there went my camera. Oh. So I'm still on. Hang on one second. See the technology. If I talk for too long, the camera goes off.
Oh, it times itself out, huh?
I don't exactly know.
Huh.
They didn't want to see me. They just wanted to see you.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So while I get her to put everything in the show notes to make sure and put the stuff about you and Collaborate Live and all that, I'm going to do those technical things for a second. We're going to talk a little bit about courage. So back to business ownership and your, journey in that. Is there any time that you were scared or you felt like, wow, that was a big, courageous decision?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people say if you're comfortable, then you're not growing. I mean, that statement in itself, you know, takes a lot of courage. But there's different, I've seen so many different types of business owners. Like, you know, I can think of, you know, a carpet cleaner that I know right now, I'm not going to say who or where, but they're so scared. Like they signed up with Collaborate Pros and we literally have the blueprint to help them, you know, attract more customers and more businesses. But the owner is well in his older years now, and he still works in the truck every single day. So he's never taken the courage to get out of the truck and train people to replace him, you know? And that takes a lot of courage, first of all, to work yourself out of your truck. Because it's scary, right? And I remember when, you know, I did all my work and, you know, I was on a ladder, literally answering phone calls. And I remember thinking, man, I don't have time to answer phone calls. I have to clean windows, right? So it takes courage to stop cleaning windows and start answering the phone and doing the scheduling. And then you get so busy, you have to take the courage to hire somebody to answer the phones for you. And then it takes the courage to, you know, go get a warehouse. Like, I remember the first garage I rented. I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing's humongous. I would never fill this thing up. But it's kind of like a house. If you have a small house, you don't acquire a lot of stuff. But if you have a big house, you fill it up. So I filled up that warehouse pretty fast, outgrew that sucker. And that was awesome. Then it took courage to go, you know, get another, you know, another warehouse. I mean, there's courage all along the road, everywhere you look. You know, it took a lot of courage to, you know, hire a general manager and to step away and let him run it. I used to work for a guy before I started my own business, and he was the most micromanaging guy I ever met. Like, you literally, if you checked out, you know, six rags at the beginning of the day, you'd have to give him six rags. Your camera went off again.
Oh, goodness.
Anyway, I'll keep talking, but I noticed back then, like,
the guy six rags. Okay.
Yeah, like, this guy was never gonna grow to full potential because he didn't trust anybody. And it, from what I've seen in business, I think the most courageous things a business owner can do is have the courage to trust somebody. And some people have the hardest time with that. And I naturally trust people before I don't trust them. Maybe that's a fault, but it's really allowed me to grow. It's really allowed me to give other people opportunity. So have the courage to trust people. Now, yeah, people are going to fail. Yeah, sometimes they're going to cost you money. Yeah, sometimes they're going to screw up. But, like, what's worst case scenario? You fire them and you find somebody else, right? But you can't grow extraordinarily if you're sitting there doing it all yourself. So you have to have the courage to trust people.
Absolutely. You can't get out of the truck. You can't in any business, you know, in most businesses, unless you're buying one, not most, but
yeah,
definitely in, you know, home industry, in businesses I started in the dance studio, many times you're starting as a solopreneur, you know, you're starting yourself, and it's every step of the way, of replacing yourself. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Those are the
greatest. I remember, like, even me starting Collaborate Pros, like, I kept trying to get out of the window cleaning business, and something would always, like, fish hook and reel me back in. And I get so annoyed. Like, man, I should not be here. But it was on me because I didn't tell my team my expectations. So I sat them all down one time and I said, look, guys, if you run this and let me get away and actually start Collaborate Pros, because I really want to go help other people, you know, I'm going to reward you guys. Like, I'm going to give back to you guys, but I need you guys to handle this. So that was kind of scary for me because I had the fear that, you know, they're like, oh man, stupid business owner, he doesn't care and he's leaving us alone and he's going off and doing his own thing. But you met all my guys in Vegas and they all genuinely care for me and they all genuinely love what they do. So it was scary. It was scary to go start something else.
Yeah, absolutely. But that is the way to grow. That's one of the most important things and one of the most important skills. And you're never going to grow without that of, you know, replacing yourself and getting yourself out of those things, and what seats can you replace yourself in? What can you delegate?
That's courage too, right? Some people say they're good at delegating, but they're really not. You have to really delegate.
And it's a constant, but it's one of the most important things for growth. Yeah.
Well, and my general manager, when I hired him, like, his salary, I was like, oh my gosh, like, where am I going to find money for me? Like, that's courageous, right? But then he added so much value. Like, I think within the first year, It was about a year later he landed us that Arizona Cardinals stadium contract. Like, that alone, man, that'll pay for him for many years, right? So, like, take the courage and you'll get rewarded.
Yeah, exactly. What is one thing we got just in parting? We got a couple minutes left. So now we got some rapid fire questions.
Let's do it.
For you to impact people. What is one thing that you've learned in the last year that has changed your perspective? And then as a result, changed your business in your life? Oh my gosh, the camera.
Well, I think I already shared it, but it was within that last year to be vulnerable and ask for help in that hot seat. I think that's the one thing that I realized, like, you know, I can be more open and share my issues and problems with others. I've always had the thought for many years is like, hey, I'm a business owner. Nobody's going to feel sorry for me. Like, I can't go to anybody in my family and be like, can I borrow 20 bucks? They're like, dude, you need 20 bucks. So you always feel like I got to do this all on my own. So I think the one thing I learned in the last year was like, you know, I should probably be more open to other people's opinions and thoughts.
Mm. Yep. Those are two things. I mean, vulnerable and then, yeah, actually open to the listening. Yeah. And
yeah. I'm doing something wrong. Point it out to me. It's always easy to see what other people are doing wrong. It's hard to see what you're doing wrong. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. It's hard to let go of. Call, Angela,
email me your list of things I'm doing wrong. I'd greatly appreciate it. Like, you sent me a bullet point on Monday. Like, golly, how am I going to get through that checklist? But send me the checklist of what I'm doing wrong too, and I'll work on it.
I won't send you that. But yes, I did send you a bullet checklist.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. Okay. If you had one piece of wisdom to share.
One piece of wisdom. Well, we're talking in business, right?
No, it can be anything.
I mean, the thing that I live by day in and day out is just valuing people. Like, it's always about people. I don't value how much dollar per hour people are making. I'm valuing people as in, you know, how much more I can build them up. Because like, I had a friend many years ago, and sadly he died from a drug overdose. But he was a guy, like, we would go to the bars and every girl wanted to go home with this guy. And I'm a dude. I can't tell if he's good looking. So maybe he's good looking. I don't know. But I don't think it was that he was that amazing looking of a guy. He just made everybody around him feel like they were his best friend. So like, when I hung out with him, I'm like, wow, I'm clearly Matt's best friend. And then I noticed he was hanging out with somebody else. And that guy feels like Matt thought he was his best friend. So I realized the quality in this guy was he always made everybody around him feel like they were genuinely important. So my wisdom is to invest in people and make them feel like they're your best friend, any person you're around.
That's another Mary Kay Ash, by the way. We just went over the six most important lists, but one of her most famous things is pretend everyone has a sign around their neck that says, make me feel important. Mm. And that is a gift. I mean, it's funny that he brought, like, when you mentioned, like, every girl wanted to go home with him. But it just goes to show that, like, how I say make me feel important, but how valuable that is and how much everyone wants that in their life. That it is the critical inch.
Yeah.
Of if you have that. And I'm not going to say gift. I mean, that guy probably had a gift. But how we can do it intentionally. And you talked about that. I don't know what conversation we were having of like, I want to be kind. I think it was working on ourselves when we were last week on Collaborate Live. And like, I want to be kind. I want to be like that. But to intentionally be like that, to intentionally be like your friend and make people feel that important. I mean, not just important, because I think we can take that and then, you know, tell people that and it's a little less significant, but how much he made you feel that valued, like you were his best friend.
Yeah.
And I'm not taking lightly the women. I mean, I am. This is funny. Like, then he got women to come home and run the bar with him. But it is because people are starving for that attention of not just a little bit of attention, but how much, like, focused, you're awesome, you're my best friend, that validation to people, making them feel that good about themselves. Yeah. How can we do more of that? How can we do more of that for our team members, our clients, everyone that we encounter in life, instead of, you know, our kids, our partners, our friends, everyone, of really taking that moment of, and we've seen that in people, and that guy and people we met last week, of, you know, it's taking the moment to, like, really look the person in the eye.
And make the world a better place, not just your environment, right?
Yeah. And not just say all the right things like he did, but but, you know, you genuinely make another person feel so good about themselves that it obviously made an impression on your life. And I'm sure he did a lot of others as well. So, Well, thank you so much for joining me. Every moment I told Dave, I said, the whole crew from the last show is in Phoenix, and being back home for a few days before I'm back on the road and in the energy of these awesome people, I was like, I'm having FOMO.
I know. I'm sorry.
The show is great, and we will be back. We just posted in the link. If you're on Facebook, the link for Collaborate Live, join us at 6:30. It's going to be awesome. It is a really great community. If you're listening on the radio, just click on the link and follow on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn, Angela Wang Schroeder, Courageous Living Group. And you can get that link. And if you want another hour with Dave and I, we'll see you in an hour.
Yeah. See you at 6:30. Be fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for tuning in. And again, if you're listening and you're going to be in Denver next week at ProGreens, make sure and come to see Dave and I.
Yes.
It's been fun. Thanks again.
Bye.